Okay, the reason why I chose this topic is because many people have been panicking about the events that's going on in the world right now. As everybody knows, we are at war. There's a war that was declared by President Bush against the country of Iraq, and that's what's going on now. And we've received numerous emails from people asking us at this website, how do we handle this situation? And we've had many people send us emails, and we've had many people come here asking, how do we deal with this situation? What do we do? Why is Allah punishing the Muslims? We've actually had people ask us this question, and we spent the past several days talking about, first of all, that war is a punishment from Allah. Allah tells us that any type of disaster or calamity that befalls us is brought on by ourselves, okay? And it is a punishment from Him. And Allah sends punishment to us because we do not abide by His laws and His rules, okay? Just as He's punished the nations that came before us. So first of all, we have to look at what's going on for what it is. It's a punishment from Allah, a punishment for those who do not live by His laws, who do not follow the Sunnah. For those Muslims who are believers, then it's a test for them. It's a test of their patience. It's a test of their perseverance. Okay, and that's what this is. That's the way we have to, and that's how we need to look at this as Muslims. We have to understand that as humans, we go through life in this world unstable. We go through life unstable. We pass through alternating periods of happiness and dismay. We go through periods of strength and weakness. We go through periods of wealth and poverty. We go through periods of health and sickness. A true believer is a person who maintains a clear level of iman throughout all these different worldly fluctuations. The true believer, he doesn't question Allah's decree. He doesn't ask, why is this happening? He continues to remember Allah and to ascribe the bounties to Him. And he turns to Allah in submission, asking for relief from whatever his affliction may be it sickness, be it weakness, be it poverty, or be it even war. Okay, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has addressed this in many different hadiths. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed amazing are the affairs of the believer. They are all for his benefit. If he is granted ease of living, he is thankful, and this is best for him. And if he is afflicted with a hardship, he remains patient, and this is best for him. And this hadith is sahih, it's from Muslim. Also, Allah even tells us in the Quran, Allah says in the interpretation of the meaning, certainly we shall test each of you with fear, with hunger, with loss of wealth, with lies and fruits, but give great glad tidings to those who are patient. Those who are patient, and when afflicted with a calamity, they say, truly to Allah do we belong, and truly unto Him shall we return. It is those who will be rewarded blessings and mercy from their Lord, and it is those who will be the ones guided. Now that's a beautiful ayah of the Quran from the second surah of the Quran. Here Allah tells us what to do. He tells us, again, we were created to worship Allah. And Allah tells us that each of us will be tested with something, with calamities, fear, loss of wealth, death, sicknesses. But whatever the calamity is, we have to be patient and say, to Allah do we belong, and to Him shall we return. And these are the people whom Allah will guide. So thus, a believer shows gratitude and thankfulness for all the wonderful blessings that Allah grants him. And when Allah puts a test on him, he displays patience and submission during whatever that test may be it sickness, hardship, hunger, war, or any other affliction. Okay? And once a person understands this, guys, then you can handle it. Then you can handle whatever it is that happens. A true believer doesn't freak out. The believers amongst us are not freaking out about what's going on in the world. They look at it for what it is. It's a test for them. It's a test for them. And they say, to Allah do we belong, and unto him shall we return. And they bear this test. But for those Muslims who have no knowledge or understanding of their religion, they're the ones that you see freaking out. Freaking out all over the place, running to this website, asking us to make it easy for them and give them a dua to recite and all this other stuff because they have no understanding of their religion. Allah has decreed, He has decreed that in this life, hardships and disasters will strike both the believers and the non-believers. No one is exempt. Again, we have to understand, everybody, as Muslims, we were created to worship Allah. That's why we were put here. And hardships will afflict all of us. For a non-believer, they are inconveniences that hinder them from proceeding with their normal involvement in the worldly life. And for those of us who are believers, the hardships are instances of rest and remembrance and tests that promise great rewards and indications of atonement and expiation of sins. Regardless of how little is the harm that strikes a believer, guys, it still carries with it good news of forgiveness and elevated ranks in paradise. So again, this is why the believers do not freak out. This is why you do not see the believing Muslims panicking and going crazy and losing their mind because there's a war going on. Okay? So we first of all have to understand, as believing Muslims, that all of us will be tested with the calamity. All of us will be tested with some type of tragedy because this is what we were created for. Also, another thing that we have to look at and understand as believing Muslims is that calamities, they're a punishment from Allah for those who do not live by His rules. But for those of us who do try to abide by His laws and live by the Sunnah, it's a way of us being forgiven for our sins. Abu Huraira narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hardships continue to befall a believer, both man and woman, in their body, their family, and their property until they meet Allah burdened with no sins. And that hadith is sahih, is from Tirmidhi. And what it means is exactly what it says. Hardships will come upon us. And if we handle these hardships and be patient and persevere, it's a way of Allah forgiving us for our minor sins. So that when you stand before Allah on the day of judgment, you will stand before Him only held accountable for your major sins, not your minors. Also, we need to understand that when we are afflicted with hardships, this is also a sign of Allah's love. The Prophet ﷺ said, whenever Allah wants good for a person, He subjects him to adversity. And again, guys, this applies to the believers. This does not apply to those people out there who are just Muslim in name. For those people who are just Muslim in name, their hardship is a wrath. But for those who are true believers, it's a way of forgiving them for their sins, and it's a sign of Allah's love. So if Allah loves you, He's going to put some type of hardship on you, be it a sickness or something. Also, hardships are also a sign of iman for the believer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the parable of a believer is that of a fresh and moist plant. The wind tilts it this way and that way. And so is the believer. He continues to be subjected to affliction. And the parable of a hypocrite is like that of a firm cedar tree. It does not shake until it is uprooted all at once. And that's a beautiful hadith there that shows us the difference between a believer and a hypocrite. The believer will be tested all different types of ways, through different types of hardships, again, as a way of expelling his sins and expiating his sins and bringing him closer to Allah. Also, hardships are a sign of righteousness for the believers. The Prophet alayhi salam and all the other righteous people have always been afflicted with the most hardships. Their hardships are the highest. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the most in their suffering among the people are the prophets, then the best, and then the next best. A person is afflicted in accordance with his deen. If his deen is firm, then his affliction is hard. And if his deen is weak, his affliction is light. Indeed, one would be so much subjected to hardship until he walks amongst the people without any sins. Again, Allah sends hardships and calamities upon the believers as a way of expiating your sins, bringing you closer to him. So on the day of judgment, all you have to account for are your major sins, not your minor ones. And again, the hardship comes according to your faith. For those with strong iman, they have to deal with death. And this is how if you understand these hadiths, then you can understand what's going on in the world. We tell you guys here all the time at this website that we do not engage in discussing politics. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we don't have to. If you understand the basics of Islam, then you don't have to sit around talking about the war in Iraq, because you know what's going on. Okay? A person asked the question, why is it that children are dying, that the innocent children are dying? First of all, remember, when a child dies, his soul goes to paradise in the form of a bird, and it flies freely through paradise. Everybody here knows that. So don't feel bad. Don't cry for that child. Do not cry for the child who died in the war. That child is in paradise. Their soul is in that of a bird, flying freely, waiting to be reunited with their body on the day of resurrection. So don't cry for the children. Okay? And as for the parents of that child, that's a heavy hardship for any parent to bear. If that parent was a believer, Allah says he will test the believers amongst us harder with the worst calamities of all. Perhaps that child's mother and father were such good Muslims that Allah said, okay, I'm going to give them the worst calamity, which is the death of their children. Because guess what happens? Guess what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said happens to a parent, man or woman, who loses a child? On the day of judgment, that child will be a screen for them, a shield for them against the hellfire. Subhanallah. And another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, any parent who loses three children will be admitted into paradise just out of Allah's mercy for them. So how dare you sit up and watch TV and freak out and say, look at the children dying. Don't weep for those children. They're in paradise. Don't weep too hard for their parents, because their parents probably have some strong iman. And this is Allah's way of expiating their sins and making them stand before him on the day of judgment with their children, and they are screening them from the hell. And again, any parent who loses three, they go to paradise just out of Allah's mercy. So again, guys, this is why we don't have to discuss politics at this website. We're here to teach you the basics of Islam. I have dedicated my life to trying to get everybody here to think like believing Muslims. I'm not trying to get you guys to think like a Muslim. I want you to think like a believer, which is better and higher and the best you can be. A believer doesn't panic and freak out. He remains patient and persevere. Don't question Allah's decree. You don't question His decree. War is a punishment. Instead, question yourself, where, how do I fit in here? Is Allah getting ready to punish me, or am I a believer getting ready to be tested with a hardship? Is Allah, and how strong is my iman? Because the stronger my iman, the harder my test will be. That's what you should be asking yourself instead of sitting around here freaking out because of this war that Allah has decreed to happen. Allah says He brings the war to cleanse the earth, to cleanse the earth of the corrupt people. That's the purpose of the war, to cleanse the earth of corrupt people, get rid of them, and move along some better ones. So again, guys, if you think like a believer, then all your questions are answered, and you can sit up and not freak out. Not freak out. Yes, children are dying, but guess what? They're flying in paradise. And the souls, their souls in the bodies of birds. And their parents got somebody to stand there and intercede for them. SubhanAllah, you better check your own self, worry about yourself, instead of sitting around panicking about what's going on with other people. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the amount of reward is in accordance with the amount of suffering. When Allah loves some people, He tries them with affliction. He who then is content with Allah's decree has achieved the acceptance of Allah. And he who is dissatisfied with Allah's decree will attain the anger of Allah. And that hadith is sahih. It's also sahih from Tirmidhi. So how dare the Muslims sit here freaking out over Allah's decree? He decreed this war. He decreed it. How are you going to deal with it? That's what you should ask yourself. Are you going to be forgiven for your sins? Or are you getting ready to be punished with the rest of the perpetrators of this religion? Whoever is content with Allah's decree has achieved acceptance of Allah. So for those of you who freaking out, panicking, you better check yourself. Check yourself. How dare you be dissatisfied with what Allah has decreed to happen? Because the more dissatisfied you are, the more you freak out, then the more angry you make Allah, and the more Allah will continue to send His wrath upon the Muslims. Do you guys understand this? I received an email yesterday in my email box from the North American Muslim Association. These are the people that do that ISNA and all that, saying that they want all the Muslims to fast together for the children who are dying in Iraq on Thursday. And what have I taught you guys here? Fasting is an act of worship to be done solely for Allah. So who are these Muslims who are dissatisfied with Allah's decree to the point that they're going to tell other Muslims to fast for someone other than Allah? And again, we ask the question, why is Allah angry? Why do we have the war? Allah is sick of it, and so is Layla Nasheeba, and so is Shay Gadley, and so is many other people who know what's going on. We're sick of the perpetrators. Cleanse the earth, Allah. Clean it up from these foul people who perpetrate this beautiful religion. Fasting is only for Allah, guys. You don't fast for the Palestinians. You don't fast for the Iraqis. You fast for Allah. Nobody was afflicted with war more than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for those of you who participate in the Sirat Rasul class that's taught here Monday through Friday, you can see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since his migration to Medina, he never had a month, not an entire month of no fighting. Where have you read that he said, okay, let's all fast for the Muslims in Mecca? Where have you read that the Prophet ﷺ ever said, let's fast for those brothers and sisters of ours who we left had to leave behind in Mecca? Astaghfirullah. And again, you ask, why do we have this war? I tell people, turn off the TV. You guys ain't got no business watching it. Because you're sitting there letting shaitan get you to, oh, astaghfirullah, look what's going on. The babies are dying. You better, them babies in paradise. Don't be feeling sorry for those babies who are dying. Check your soul. And don't feel sorry for their parents either. Because again, their parents may be in paradise out of Allah's mercy for how they handle that test from Allah. Cry for your own self. Stop being dissatisfied with Allah's decree. Okay? Also, another thing is sickness. Muslims don't know how to handle sickness. They don't know how to deal with sickness. I got another person sent me an email. I was diagnosed with cancer, so I won't be coming back to the website no more. Wallahi, this is an email I got. A regular user, I guess we won't see him. It's a man. We only got a few men here, so you'll be able to figure out who it is. I guess we won't see him here anymore because he sent me an email saying I was diagnosed with cancer. So take me off the email list. I won't be coming back to the website anymore, and I won't be going to the masjid anymore. I think Islam was the worst thing I ever did. Astaghfirullah. Here's a person freaking out because he was diagnosed with sickness. We need to understand, guys, that a Muslim, a believer, because I'm not going to say Muslim, a believing Muslim should not look to sickness as a gloomy episode. Instead, you should look to sickness and remember the good that's in it. It is one way of affliction in which Allah will test us. He will test our ibadah. He will test us to see if we will patiently persevere. And he will forgive us for our sins. Now, for a person to say, well, I'm going to just apostate. Guess what? He flunked his test. He failed his test. So guess what? Allah just may take his soul. He may die of cancer. But for somebody else who may have been diagnosed, I can use myself as an example. 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, skin cancer. Did I freak out? I said, oh God. My mother said, well, I guess Allah loves you, Layla. I said, yeah, all this love, huh? Yeah. I was patient. I made dua. I went and had my surgery. They cut all of it out, and I ain't had a problem. That's been 10 years ago. 10 years ago. So inshallah, I would like to hope and believe that I passed my test. I didn't freak out and say, okay, I'm going to apostate. And I was much younger than 10 years ago. I could have freaked out and said, okay, what's the use? Let me just go out here and be a kafir. No, I remained patient, persevered, it's gone. And they told me it should never come back anymore. Skin cancer. SubhanAllah, there's many Muslims who can tell you stories such as that. We have to understand, again, when Allah loves you, he sends a hardship on you as a way of you being forgiven for your minor sins, so you will stand before him on the day of judgment only to be held accountable for your major ones. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whenever a Muslim is afflicted by harm from sickness or other matters, Allah will drop his sins because of that, like a tree drops its leaves. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a Muslim is not afflicted by hardship or sickness or sadness or worry or harm or depression, even if pricked by a thorn, Allah will expiate his sins because of it. SubhanAllah, guys, again, this is how the believer thinks. This is why Layla Nasheeba ain't sitting around looking at CNN going crazy. This is why the believers don't freak out. This is why I don't have to go around posting up questions asking, why has Allah turned his back on the Muslims? I know better. SubhanAllah. And all I can do is sit here and say, when it comes this way, please, Allah, let me pass my test. Please let me be of the believers. Let it be, let your wrath be a test for me and not a punishment. That's all I say and make dua for. And I make dua for all, I don't make dua for all the Muslims. Let me tell you guys, I'm going to admit the truth. I do not make dua for all the Muslims. Because again, a Muslim is a Muslim, but a believer is something different. There's a lot of people who are Muslim in name only, who don't pray, who commit fornication, adultery. I went to a store yesterday. This is no lie. A Muslim halal meat store. Asked about the Juma prayer. The brother had the nerve to say, oh, ain't nobody at the mosque. He had forgotten it was Juma. Oh, that's right, this Juma. So that shows right there, this man don't make no Juma prayer. What a joke. So I don't make dua for the Muslims. I make dua for all the believers. Because for those Muslims who perpetrate this religion, my word is cleanse the earth. Get rid of them. Because I'm sick and tired of living amongst perpetrators. Get rid of them. Kill them. Take them out of here, Allah. They ain't serving no purpose. And that includes anybody in my family. If you in my family and you a perpetrator, you get out too. Die. That's how Layla feels. Die. I'm like Umar. So when I make dua, I specifically state in my dua, oh Allah, please make it easy on the believers amongst us. And for those who are not believers, cleanse the earth. Cleanse the earth. Okay? So again, guys, if we understood the basics of our religion, then we wouldn't have to waste our time in petty debates of Islam. Debating the political situation. I had a brother join here yesterday during Sheikh Youssef's lecture. Sheikh Youssef was talking about dawah, nothing to do with the war in Iraq. Some brother came here and said, now if only Sheikh Youssef could explain to us why we have the war in Iraq. I asked him, what do you mean? Sheikh Youssef can't explain that. Allah has already explained it to you. It's his wrath. His wrath, because we ain't following his sunnah. Look at this website. Look at that question board, guys. You want the proof that the Muslims are messed up in the head? Look at the question board. We got women praying on their periods. Look at the question board. This woman saying, I don't see why I can't pray, so I still pray on my period. I'm a fast on my period, too. Well, you know what, Miss It? You're going to be burning in hell, too. Look at that question board. Muslims, I commit fornication, but so what? Might as well enjoy life now. You only live once. I can look at that question board and see why Allah is fed up. Because I'm fed up of answering those crazy questions. I'm fed up. And if somebody tell you there's no such thing as a stupid question, that's not true. I'm here to tell you there's many stupid questions. And you want to see a bunch of them? Look at that question board, especially the old one. Go look at the old question board. You will find a bunch of stupid questions. So anybody tell you there ain't a such thing, they're not telling you the truth. There are many stupid questions. And for a woman to sit up and say, why come I can't pray on my period? That's a stupid question. When she's sitting there telling you she could care less what a law say, she don't see nothing wrong with it. So she gonna continue to do it, and so be it. So there's many stupid questions out there. I'm sick of them. So now if I'm sick of answering, imagine how Allah feels. He's sick of all this perpetration. We also have to understand that, once The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the Sahaba, and a woman walked past. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do you want to see a woman from the people of paradise?" The Sahaba said, "Oh yes." He said, "Look at her. See that black woman?" Shows that there's no racism in Islam, unlike what other folks try to preach, such as the Wallace Dean or whatever. He said, "See that black woman?" The Prophet said, "I have seen her. She will be one of the women of paradise." The people were like, "Well, what's so special about her? Why is Allah, why will she be in paradise?" And the woman came to the Prophet and she said, "O Prophet of Allah, I have epileptic seizures and I get exposed, so make dua for me." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you wish, be patient and you will attain paradise, or if you wish, I will ask Allah to cure you." She said, no, don't make dua for me. She said, "I will be patient, but my body gets exposed when I fall down. So just make dua to Allah that when I don't fall down and hurt myself." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, and because of that, she'll be in paradise. Now she had a choice. The Prophet could have made dua to heal her, so she would never have epilepsy again. But she said, "No, I'll keep it because this is Allah's way of expiating my sins. I'll keep it. Just make dua that I don't fall and hurt myself." SubhanAllah. So we have to understand, guys, that whenever a calamity or a hardship afflicts us, be it war, be it sickness, be it disease, be it floods, drought, famine, the death of our beloved children, the death of your loving husband or wife, what are we supposed to do? Remain patient and say, "Unto Allah, from Allah do we belong, and to Allah will we return." That's what you say, and be patient. You don't sit around freaking out like many of the Muslims are doing right now, crying and all this other crazy stuff. That's what I call it. I call it crazy. Craziness, tearing out the hair, screaming, "Oh, the world's coming to an end. Oh, Allah, you deserted us. Oh, the Muslims, the babies." Them babies ain't caring about anything. Them babies in paradise. You guys better wake up. Seriously, we need to wake up as Muslims, educate ourselves about the basics of our religion, and then we can handle the politics of the world. If you had the knowledge and understanding of your, and I do stress understanding, because a lot of people have knowledge, but they ain't got no understanding. I'm talking knowledge and understanding, then you can handle whatever calamities befall you or befall the world, and you remain calm and logical and patient. Okay, so I want to stop right here for today, and then tomorrow we're going to continue by talking about the patience that the Sahaba had. We're going to talk about the patience that they exhibited during hardships worse than anything that you see here. We're going to talk about how they handled the death of their children, the death of their husbands and wives. Okay? And maybe you people can learn from them, because we're supposed to be following in their footsteps anyway. Because remember, Allah has told us, who are the people who will find happiness in this world? And who are the people who will find happiness in the hereafter? They are the people, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his companions, the people who follow them in the best way. Those are the ones who will find happiness. And those are the same people who can handle whatever affliction comes their way, whatever test comes their way, and remain calm and patient and persevere. Okay, we're going to stop right here, inshallah, and then, like I said, Imam Ibrahim should be here in 15 minutes. If you have any questions about Islam, Imam Ibrahim will, inshallah, answer all your questions. And right after his session, we have a lecture from Sheikh Ibrahim Jamali. He's going to talk about Quran and science. And I do see Sheikh Yusuf put something here. At 6? Oh, Sheikh Yusuf. Wait a minute. Sheikh Yusuf say he's got something going on at 6. We got Sheikh Ibrahim Jamali at 5:30. Ugh. I'll deal with that with Sheikh Yusuf. Okay, but stick around, guys, at the website. We have a lot of lectures scheduled for today. Follow the schedule that's posted up here. And inshallah, if you have any questions about the lecture, go ahead and ask them.